taking my stool. So, I'm Christy Herman, and I've been coming to Egomont for, I was thinking, it's like 8 years. That's amazing. That Jordan and I were coming even when we were dating, and then this church family has been with us as we got married, and we've had three little kids, so it's nice to feel like we're family, right? There's no need to be nervous. I think it's really cool, and I'm always amazed that you can look at someone and they have a story. Everybody has a story, and you'd never know by looking at them. So it's pretty special. I feel like I hope that my story will touch you. I feel really blessed and fortunate to have grown up in a very loving family. I have two older brothers, and then my parents are really blessed with a darling daughter. Any other babies out there? So if you're the baby of the family, that means that like they were waiting for you and then you were there. All the eldest are like rolling their eyes. All the middles are like, she never said me. Anyways, I have very fond memories of my childhood and teen years, and church was a big part of that. Now, don't get me wrong, we had regular disagreements in our family, teenage attitude issues. Couldn't have been me. Introductions of boyfriends and girlfriends that everyone else knew wasn't a good decision, and many more ups and downs that make family life interesting. I do, however, remember issues getting resolved through discussions and the openness to have real and honest conversations amongst my family members in a really loving way. It was a house filled with a lot of laughter and love. I even remember myself at the age of 20, on the cusp of real life adulthood, a confident second year university student. After getting together with friends on a Friday evening, I decided to go home early and found myself, like a little child, hopped up on my dad's lap as he sat in his huge lazy boy. And I gave him a big hug as I told him about my day. It was such a childlike thing to do, but I'll never forget that particular interaction, and I'll always cherish it, because less than 24 hours later, I was standing in the emergency room at the U of A hospital, my face buried into the shoulder of an ER nurse, sobbing as my mom, brothers, and I had just said our last goodbyes to my dad. Now, just let me go back to that night before again. I said that I was out with friends, and it was at a get-together, actually, with my worship team friends to share a song that I had just put together. And this song was finalized that same night. I absolutely marvel at God's amazing and perfect timing, because the very words that I wrote in this song, unbeknownst to me in that moment, would radically challenge my relationship with God, because the very next day, my life was changing forever. That part of the song goes, everything I hold tight, I would trade it all for you. My Lord, my life, I give it all to you. But I'll sing the rest of that later. So my parents owned a steel business. Like, we're talking like 50, 60 foot long I-beams weighing thousands of pounds each. My brothers both worked for the business, and I was in my second year of my nursing degree. It was a beautiful, sunny, warm February day. The kind of day that shows you a glimpse of spring weather so that you can carry on with the rest of winter. It was a Saturday, and My brothers were catching up on some extra work, cutting steel and loading semi-trailers so they'd be ready to ship out on Monday morning. And my dad, though he was president of the company, he was never above getting his hands dirty. But most importantly, he enjoyed spending time with his family. So he was there at the shop, spending the workday with my brothers. In a tragic and accidental shift of an icy beam, a very large beam tumbled off a trailer bed. In a panic, my brother ran around the trailer to find my dad pinned under a massive beam, sharing his last words on earth with my brother. My brother then ran to a forklift, screaming for my other brother to come, who was further away in another area of the shop. He forklifted the beam off my father while on the phone with 911. Minutes later, I drove onto the business yard with hot lunch for the guys. There was a fire truck there. Okay, someone must have burnt something to set off the fire alarm. Then I see one of my brothers comes running to me from across the yard. Dirty face and work coveralls, and I can see this look of utter helplessness, exasperation, and an unexplainable raw emotion that I can't describe. He hugged me so tightly, and I still didn't know the gravity of the situation. There's been an accident. Something happened to Dad. My brothers never let me go over to the accident area. By now, several ambulances were there, and even the media standing at the gate of the yard. This was a big accident, apparently newsworthy. We called my mom, and leaving out all the details of who and what, but told her to get to the shop as fast as possible. And this was 6 months short of their 30th anniversary. My brothers, my mom, and I went by ambulance, sirens blaring, in a convoy behind the one my dad was in to the hospital, praying out loud and hoping for the best, still very unaware of the graveness of the situation. Closed in a small room together, we waited. I have no idea how long we waited. Time totally stood still. Doctor entered, declared, "We've done all we can do." Together, my family, hand in hand, we saw him, my dad, his nose still a little dirty from working in the yard, laying so still. I couldn't believe this was happening. We said goodbye, really unable to process the reality of it. In James 1:2-4, I had to memorize this in youth group, and I've never forgotten it. And I thought of it often in those really dark days of grief. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when faced with trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." The next book in the Bible, Peter, talks about the dangers that many Christians were facing and the terrible suffering because of their faith. But think about the suffering. Doesn't it apply to all of us, since we all have and will experience some type of suffering? Peter wrote, "While you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these," the trials and difficulties, "these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed." I like that refining part. A prospector finds gold and rock. The rock is then placed in a fire to burn off the impurities and reveal the beautiful gold. Suffering acts in the same way as the refining fire. It exposes the true faith of a person. When hardship comes, what will that expose in you? I like Lisa Turker's statement in her book, Unglued, that says, we can't always fix our circumstances, but we can fix our minds on God. I thought of this many times. Without my faith and hope in Christ, I can't imagine, and I fear to think, where my life would have taken me. God was my strength. I really felt that I had to live up to the words I had just written in my song. That everything I hold important in life, I would trade it for relationship with God. I told God in my song that I would give him my heart, my everything, and I had to choose to live that out now. In the late 1800s, a man named Horatio Spafford was a successful Chicago lawyer with a significant amount of real estate that was destroyed by the Great Chicago Fire. His loss of property ended up ruining him financially, so he planned to take his family to Europe for a new start, but was delayed with resolving business responsibilities from the fire. So he sent his wife and daughters ahead of him. While crossing the Atlantic, the ship his family was on crashed with another vessel, and all four of his daughters died. As Spafford crossed the Atlantic to meet up with his wife, he was alone, grieving the loss of all his children, totally broke, and I imagine feeling at rock bottom. And that's when he penned the song, It Is Well With My Soul. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Isn't that amazing that he wrote that then? I'd like you to take a second and think of someone whose strength and faith you really admire. Now consider their life story. Have you ever met an admirable person of sound and strong character who had an easy life? Now, I'm certainly not suggesting that we live a lifetime of sorrow or wallow in self-pity or exaggerate situations to dramatic proportions, nor create a one-up culture of outdoing tragedies. That's not where this is going. In Romans, it says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. So my point is that in this world, there will be difficulties. But why? The why question. Why does tragedy happen to me? For my dad, I think he was plucked from this earth in God's perfect timing, although I will never fully understand, and I will always grieve, to fill an auditorium of business colleagues, friends, and acquaintances acquired over a lifetime of 50 years, to answer many of their questions about what was so different about him. There was a spark, there was a realness, a respectable character. I think the tragedy of my dad's accident is in part what influenced individuals to question their own spirituality, because it was so sudden and so unexpected, it naturally makes you consider your own mortality and beliefs. For me, my personal answer to this why question is to fulfill God's calling on my life by drawing closer to him through the ups and downs, to share my faith and to trust him through future hardships. I think this might just be what James meant by becoming spiritually mature. And you know what? Maybe there's no answer to the why question. Maybe we simply need to leave it in God's capable hands and accept the fact that we will never fully comprehend. Life without my dad is difficult. There's no sugarcoating that. Jordan and I got married 3 years after my dad passed away, and it was very difficult to not be with him, arm in arm, walking down the aisle. But I had the honor of my oldest brother walking beside me, and I gained a wonderful father-in-law. I get sad and tearful on occasion that my dad never got the opportunity to know my kids or experience the joy of watching us, his own children, in adulthood. However, I know my relationships with my brothers and mom would not be what they are today had we not experienced the grief we did together and lean on each other for support and love. I can choose to wallow in sadness, or I can fix my eyes on the positive. Our story is tragic, yes, but it's also triumphant. To be able to say, with all the conviction in my heart, that life has been good, that God has been good, God has been faithful, and God's grace and love has enveloped me and my family. I am blessed. Hardships will present differently for different people, so be gracious and sensitive, compassionate about the variety of hardships. What may be a small hurdle for you could be very challenging for someone else. These hardships come with a very special gift, unique to Christianity. It's hope. Hope that Christ can heal your emotional wounds. Hope for an eternity worth excitement and anticipation. Hope that your story of difficulties will shine a spotlight on Jesus. Life's difficulties come with a responsibility for believers to allow yourself to be refined by the process of suffering and rise to the divine calling on your life to live your faith as an example for others to witness. The world is watching you. So I'll share my song now.
More I need than to